We're back to John's Gospel again, and we're turning to the last few verses in that chapter, John chapter 10, and we're just going to read verse 25 to the end. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I trust that today that you are enjoying the things of the Lord. Now, when someone asks you that question, are you enjoying the things of the Lord? How would you answer that? Does that mean that you really enjoy prayer? That you really get a kick out of your Bible? That you love talking about the Savior? Well, that is truly the experience of the born-again Christian. The born-again Christian would rather be praying than out in the world dancing and boozing and going through all the lusts of the flesh, because those are the things that God condemns, and they become grievous to the child of God as well. But when we are in fellowship with the Lord, that brings great peace and joy within our souls, real, personal joy in our souls. And the Lord Jesus said to us, "Well, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you." And so there is a blessedness that the Christian truly knows in walking with and living for the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you will enjoy that today, especially as we turn to our pulpit ministry on the co-equality of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father. Now, of course, this is Trinitarian doctrine, but it is right out of John's Gospel. And we're going to find it here in John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Now, for that statement, the Jews took up stones to stone the Lord. He paid a price for making that declaration. But he stood his ground. He didn't give an inch to those who accused him of blasphemy. Why? Because truly he was the Son of God. Now, before we have the message in word, we're going to a message in song. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood?
Amazing love.
Remember, this book of John, the writer of this book, set out to establish the deity of Christ. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That was his purpose. That was his thesis, setting out to write this Gospel of John. And here he is. He's getting into the details, the controversy with the Jews, and how the Lord stood his ground and made the claim and backed up the claim, I and my Father are one. And so we see this great defense of the Savior. And it all comes down, of course, to us, to faith. If you look at verse 38, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. All of this comes down to a matter of faith. Now, where are you at today in your faith life and your trusting in the Lord Jesus? Do you trust him as a great worker? Do you trust him as one who was aligned with the Father? Or are you trusting him as God in the flesh? There is a world of difference there. And if your faith is in the Lord Jesus, who is God, the Creator, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, then you have a wonderful Savior and a wonderful salvation, and you can be at rest in peace. That it's not our performance that saves us. It's not our quality of faith even. And sometimes you can make a God out of your own faith. And you say, well, I have a strong faith. And you look at the quality of your faith and you try to quantify it. You try to see what degree, what height or level of faith that you have. Well, we all know in the Christian life that there are times when our faith can be very weak. But do you know what? A weak faith in an almighty Savior saves. We are just as saved with weak faith in an almighty Savior as in full faith in an almighty Savior. That's the comfort. That's the reassurance. And we think of that psalm that we read of Psalm 94:14, that the Lord shall not cast away his people. This is the reassurance that we have as Christians. And it's all built upon the deity of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're making good progress. I want to give you a little mental break. I realize this is demanding. I couldn't come in with stories and illustrations on this one to lighten this. This has been intense, but there's more to come. So take a deep breath, and we're going to take another dive. We're going to come back to this passage here. And you'll notice the Lord's use of the Scriptures. And he made a statement here that the Scripture cannot be broken. Look at verse 45. Here is the Lord defending his deity, defending his claim, I and my Father are one. And he says, if ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. Now, the word broken there means loosed. It cannot be undone. It cannot be unraveled. And ladies may know that when you're knitting or dealing with embroidery, there are times when, if you're not careful, things can unravel. Just one thread can start to run, and it runs and runs and undoes everything. Well, this is the language here. The Scripture cannot be nullified. It cannot be undone. It cannot be broken. Now, the amazing thing is that the Lord's argument on this was on one word, gods, small g gods. A quote from Psalm 82, referring to those who were given prophecy and messages from the Lord, and they were referred to as gods. Small g, of course. And the Lord Jesus' argument is that if you accept the writings of those prophets as truth, and they were just human messengers, how come, and if you look at the argument now in verse 36, how come say ye of me, whom the Father hath sanctified or set apart and sent into the world, thou blasphemest? And the Lord's argument is on the authority of the Bible. And he takes it from one word, gods. And of course, the whole Bible is a revelation of who Jesus is. The whole Bible tells us that he is God, that he is God in the flesh. Now, the big takeaway from this reasoning, this defense that the Lord made of his own deity, is that this conference with these deniers of the Lord is that Scripture matters. The Bible matters. We are today Bible Christians, and we take our stand on what the Bible say. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Don't even dare to answer this. Does the Bible teach that Jesus is the Son of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the question. And does this Bible clearly and convincingly declare that Jesus is co-equal with the Father? Well, where would we start on this? We would need a week to search through the New Testament and indeed also the Old Testament. But let's restrict ourselves here to John. Let's just think of John's Gospel. Here's John writing this account of Jesus' life A gospel in this sense simply means an account, a diary, a presentation of who this man Jesus is. And in John 9, verse 35, Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when they had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Chapter 11, 4. Well, we're very close to that. We can read it here. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And then John 13, verse 31. And I'm going to give you a few seconds to look that up. John 13, verse 31. "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." And then my last text, or the last one in John, is John 20, verse 31. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So Christ said the word of God cannot be broken. Scripture matters. The Bible consistently, clearly teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. Shall we water down this claim? Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Shall we back down from that? Not at all. For those who are taking notes, let me give you what John said in his epistle, 1 John. 1 John 4:15, 1 John 5:5, 1 John 5:20, 2 John 1:3. And it is packed with statements about believing that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. I'll just read to you the last one, 2 John 1:3. "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." What a wonder, what a defense of the full deity, godhood of the Lord Jesus. We've had the Lord saying he's co-equal in purpose, in power, in nature. Co-equal, the scripture stands upon it. Now his final argument in this passage in John 10 is his works, the record of his miracle working power. Let's read verse 37, 38, John 10. "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Do you see how the Lord links his miracles to his deity? We hate the phony claims of false miracle workers today. We are sickened by so-called phony claimers of performing miracles. And of course, the claims are always of what happens in India or in Africa or some place that nobody can verify. And it never seems to happen right here and now before our eyes, because these are phony. But why do they do that? Why does the counterfeit try to make a claim like that? Because there is the true miracle worker. There's the one who did miracles almost every day of his ministry. The Lord Jesus was a mighty miracle worker. And they are the counterfeits of the true. And the Lord Jesus warned us to beware of false Christs, false prophets, and so on. But there was the true worker, and his miracles are verified. His miracles made an astonishing impact. Nicodemus was right. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So that won his heart. That made him to see there's something about this man Christ, because he has such miracle working power. And it certainly awoke an interest within his soul. Now in Matthew 4:24, it says, "And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. You know, we have become so used to reading our Bible and reading the gospel stories and reading statements like that, and he healed them. If that was happening in Langley or Cloverdale today, in reality, that every sick person who walks in is healed, whether it's lunacy, whether it's lameness, blindness, whether it is some disease, and they are truly healed, what attention that would get. And we lose the impact because of our familiarity with these accounts of the mighty miracles that the Lord Jesus wrought. And very often those miracles were associated with what he taught, as in the little boy's lunch, I am the bread of life, and he fed the 5,000. Or the man who was born blind, and he was healed. And in that same chapter, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What a mighty, powerful Savior. And he says to these unbelieving Jews, if you do not believe me because of the scriptures, if you do not believe me because of my claims, then believe for the work's sake. But alas, even then, they were hardened in heart. These hardened and wicked Jews were so filled with unbelief. So much of the poison of the serpent was in their hearts that they would not believe. And they would again, if they could, have stoned the Lord Jesus. And there's the conclusion of the whole matter. If you're not a Christian today, if you're not saved today, it's not because there's a lack of evidence. It is the hardness of your own heart. And I warn you that for that you'll be judged. For that, hell is your portion. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, what a wonderful Savior we have. And what a wonderful assurance that we are kept by the grace and the power of the Lord. We are wonderfully saved. And I beg any here today to be done with unbelief. Don't let one little drop of poison rob you of the blessing of a Savior who is altogether God and almighty to save our souls. But let us rest in him. Would you join with me in prayer now as we just say thank you, Lord, that you are such a wonderful Savior to us. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus today, and we take great delight in these wonderful truths of your deity and Godhood. We marvel at the power of these statements, and yet we also marvel at the unbelief of those who were so prejudiced, so embittered, so poisoned by the power of sin. Oh God, we know this is the battle today. There are those who will not believe simply because they will not believe. Oh Lord, in grace, turn their hearts. Create saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Deliver them from their obstinacy and pride, and bring them by grace to the Lord Jesus. Help us as your people to stand strong for the truth of the Godhood of our Lord Jesus. Forgive us for ever reducing our Lord Jesus to anything less than God. Forgive us for our triviality. Forgive us for our irreverence, even for using the name of Jesus in a trite, careless manner. Oh, grant that thou wilt fill us with such faith that we will be absolutely in love with our Savior, and that we will be enabled to tell the world that we love him and that he loves me. Help us, Lord. Use this in our lives to change us and transform us to being better disciples of the Lord Jesus. In his name we ask, amen.
Well, I hope that you have been encouraged through this message today on John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one, for which the Jews would have stoned the Lord Jesus. Do you learn from this that Jesus is a great Savior? Oh, says one, I would come to Christ, but I have been too great a sinner. Sir, your being a great sinner has nothing to do with that. Christ is a great Savior. Another says, but I do not feel it enough. He does not ask you about your feelings. He simply says, look unto me and be ye saved. But sir, I cannot pray. You are not to be saved by your prayers. You're to be saved by Christ. He will help you to pray afterwards. But says another, if I felt as so-and-so did, Christ is where you are to look, not yourself. Yes, you say, but I think he would receive anybody but me. Please, who gave you any permission to think at all in the matter? Does he not say, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out? John 6:37. Why, you are thinking your soul into eternal ruin. Give up thinking and believe. That's the gospel, my friend, and you can believe today. And remember that Jesus Christ never saves us in our sins. He saves us from our sins. Doctor, says the fool, make me well, but I'd like to keep my fever. How can a man be saved from his sins while he clings to his sins? What is salvation but to be delivered from sin? Sin lovers may seek to be saved, but they shall not be able. You must hate your sin, flee to the cross, and love mercy. And praise God, there is mercy to be found for all who come believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10:28, I and my Father are one. May that word draw you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus today. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.